Hashanah is getting pretty close. There's a lot of Dinim Yom Kippur and Sukkot to learn. At the night of Rosh Hashanah, Monday night, it says you're supposed to daven Ma'ariv with a lot of Kavanas, the first Ma'ariv of the year. Many people would daven hours and hours and hours. The Rabbeim would daven actually 4 or 5 hours Ma'ariv the first the first night of Rosh Hashanah, very, very, very long. Now in the Shemoneh Esrei, we add a whole bunch of things for Aseres Yemei Tshuva, starting from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Now we add Zochenu L'chaim Michamecha Averachman HaMelech HaKodesh HaMelech HaMishpat Uchsev L'chaim Tevim B'Sefer Chaim, all the additions. We say Eisa HaShalim B'mreimov at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, at the end of Kaddish. These are all things that needed to be added for Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The only practical thing that you repeat the Shemoneh Esrei for is, he said, instead of Hakel HaKadosh, he said HaMelech HaKadosh. In practical halacha, that's the only thing that you would actually repeat the Shemoneh Esrei for. Now, if somebody said Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel HaKadosh HaMelech HaKadosh, immediately, it was called Teich Dei Dibur, within the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Melech HaRabbi, so then you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So if somebody said Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel HaKadosh HaMelech HaKadosh, it's good. If somebody said the next word of the next bracha, like Atochenin or whatever the tefillah is throughout the various different times, or it took longer than Teich Dei Dibur, you need to start from the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. What happens if you don't remember, if you say you daven so much kavana, you don't remember what you said, so then we assume that you said what you're normally accustomed to, then you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. If you're in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, you just stop where you are in the middle of a bracha and go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay? Anywhere in the Shemoneh Esrei, you go back to the beginning. Now, it's interesting, the Rebbe asked the previous Rebbe, what do you do by benching? Because in benching, we also say, Eisa Shalom B'mreim Avu Yasa Shalom Aleinu. So he asked him, do you also say, Eisa HaShalom? And he answered, no. He says, say like it says in the Siddur. It says, Eisa Shalom. In the Shemoneh Esrei and in the Kadeshim, then we say Eisa HaShalom B'mreimov. But regularly during benching, you say Eisa Shalom B'mreimov.
What is HaShalom?
The peace. It's more Kabbalah than anything else, because those that don't do according to Kabbalah don't say it. They say Eisa Shalom. It's Eisa HaShalom. It's very interesting, while we're on this topic, to go off the topic as we rarely do. When you daven... What's so funny?
It's like me.
Yeah, I know. Just your presence here makes me do it. Now, when a person daven Shemoneh Esrei, and you go back for Eisa Shalom, okay, you take the 3 steps back, and then you do to the left, Eisa Shalom, you know, the various different customs. When you do Kaddish, you do Eisa Shalom to the right. In other words, Shemoneh Esrei you do left, right center, or left center, right center, whatever, whichever way you do it. But by Kaddish, according to Kabbalah, you go to the right first. And then you do the opposite of what you do by the Shemoneh Esrei. But in the Kaddish, even though many Mekubalim write, you only do it by Shemoneh Esrei, not by Kaddish, Arminig is even by Kaddish, you do Eisa HaShalem, except not by benching. As far as the customs of the night of Rosh Hashanah, now because Rosh... What? If you're saying Kaddish? Shemoneh Esrei, you go left first. Kaddish, you go right first, whether you're the chazan or not. Kaddish, it doesn't matter. Okay. Now, one more thing about the Zochreinus and the Mirchamechas and all that. Most people in the world have a minig that when you come to L'manshmei B'Ahava, and when the Chazan is repeating, and the Chazan says, Zochreinu L'chaim, everybody says it together with the Chazan. Our custom is not to. Our custom is only to say loud first, Uchsev L'chaim Tevim, and U'Besefer Shalom Parnasar. But we don't do Zochreinu L'chaim and Michamecha loud, like we do at the end. That's Chabad custom. The Rebbe has an explanation why, but it's not for now. No, we don't say it at all. Just the Chazan says it. Yes?
In regards to Shabbat, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I know at the time it's the holiest, but in general, what's the general, if there's an order of ranking of how serious those times were, like
Serious or holier?
In general, what?
In certain, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is much more serious than Shabbos, obviously. In holiness, in many respects, Yom Kippur is holier than Shabbos. In many respects, Shabbos is holier than Yom Kippur. And the proof of it's Yom Kippur is 6 aliyahs, Shabbos is 7 aliyahs. But in many respects, Yom Kippur is holier. You have 5 tefillahs, and Shabbos you only have 4 tefillahs. So as everything else in this religion, it depends when you're speaking, how you're speaking, where you're speaking, what you're speaking. There's certain things, Shabbos is holier than Yom Kippur. Certain things, Yom Kippur is holier than Shabbos. The clothing you wear on Rosh Hashanah is, I don't know, unless you have special Yom Tov clothing. You don't wear weekday clothing on Rosh Hashanah.
At all.
It says in Allah, you're supposed to get dressed up because we're certain Hashem gives us a good year, but it's a Yom Tov. In fact, as we're coming to now, when you finish davening, you wish everybody Lashana Tevet Tikos if it's a Chasim, or if it's a woman, Tikosevi if it's a Chasim, because it's just grammar, male and female gender. It's also customary that on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we don't do anything sour or bitter. Because we don't eat bitter things, we don't eat sour things. And on the contrary, we eat only things which are sweet or things that have connotations or meanings that it means good and a lot. And therefore, many different places they would eat many different things. For instance, it says there's a minute to eat a pomegranate. Why? Because a pomegranate has a lot of seeds. We eat an apple dipped in honey because Jews are likened to apples, the apple orchard, like we say in Kiddush, Chakal Tapuch HaKadishin. Don't ask me what it means, but the Jews are called the holy apple orchard. One of the fruits the Jews are likened to is a tapuach, an apple. We eat the dipped challah in honey. We'll discuss the details in a second. Many people have what's called tzimis. Tzimis is cooked carrots. Why? Because carrots in Yiddish is called madin. That's the Yiddish word for carrots. And madin also means to multiply, to be a lot. So, and Rosh Hashanah, you don't eat any food. Like, for instance, you won't eat horseradish and purim on Rosh Hashanah. You won't eat sour pickles on Rosh Hashanah. You don't eat any food that symbolizes in any way anything of sour or bitter. For instance, it's also brought down in Halacha, you don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. And Halacha says 2 reasons for that. One is because egais, with the word itself, is the numerical value of the word chet, which means sin. Okay? Even though chet is 18, ches and tes and aleph is 18, and chai is 18, but nevertheless, you don't eat nuts. Another thing is it gets stuck in your throat. Nuts get stuck in your throat, and you can end up chaching a whole davening, and you're going to disturb the guy next year. He's going to get into a fight with you on Rosh Hashanah, which is not a good thing, as we read this morning. Maybe it is a good thing to have a sin on Rosh Hashanah, as was mentioned in the class this morning. Tov is also 17. But the custom is you don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you make Kiddush, and then you dip the challah into honey. Okay? Now, many people have a lot of different customs when it comes to what you dip the challah into. Many people dip the challah only into honey. Okay? But obviously you need salt on the table because it's still a mizbeach, it's still an altar, so you need to have salt on the mizbeach. But there's also, many people have a custom that they also dip the salt, the challah into salt after the dip of honey. Some pasuk can bring down that some people are accustomed, they'll take a piece of challah, and one side they would dip into honey, and the other side they dipped into salt. But that's not our minig. What the Rebbe used to do, the Rebbe would eat the first piece of challah dipped in honey, and then the Rebbe would eat the rest of it dipped into salt. And as he did both, the first piece was dipped into honey, and the second piece, the Rebbe, every piece dipped into salt the whole year. But I'm saying at least the second piece, he would dip into salt. Now, it's also a custom, as we learned, that even by salt during the year, many people have a minig, they pour the salt on the challah. Our custom is, based in Kabbalah, that you dip the challah into the salt. Now, you dip the challah into salt, we mentioned this many times, you dip the challah into salt 3 times. Why do you dip the challah into salt 3 times? It's a whole year. By the way, This thing about dipping challah into salt is not only on Shabbos. It's any day of the week that when you eat bread or pizza or anything which is a meitzi, you dip it into salt three times. What's the difference?
Lack of salt?
Huh?
Lack of salt solution? No salt.
It says if there's no salt, you can use sugar. That's what it says in Halacha.
Oh, the salt and the bread must be present?
The salt and the bread should be present. If the bread is taken off from the table, you don't bring it back on for benching. Then you're not allowed to bring it back on the table.
The salt
and the challah or bread is supposed to be on the table during benching. What happens if somebody was clearing off the table and they took off the bread and then you didn't bench yet and you want to bring the bread back onto the table for benching, it says in Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to bring it back. Why? Because it's, in fact, it's a lav min ha-teira. It's called Darkei Ha-Emeri, because the goyim, the idol worshippers, what they used to do is when they finished eating their meal, they would reset the table for the idols to eat. And after you eat, then the idols eat. See, the chazeim, they come first. Can you imagine? They know if they wait for the idols to eat, they'll stay hungry for the rest of their life. So they're not stupid. So they went and they eat the meal first, and then they set the table for the idols. So the Alter Rebbe says, it's not the Alter Rebbe's original thing, obviously, but the Alter Rebbe says, because the goyim used to do that when they finished eating, they would reset the table for the idols. So once you take the bread away, if you're going to bring it back, it looks like you're resetting the tables like the goyim did, so you're not allowed to. But the chatchila, you're supposed to have the bread and the salt on the table. But
when you cut the bread and you dip three times, the three times is good for everyone, every small piece, or every small piece that you pass to people, they have to.
The truth is, every piece that somebody gets, they should dip in, it should be dipped into salt for them three times, or they do it themselves. I mean, I know women are not careful in this during the week, but the bottom line is, a lot of men are not careful in this, but the proper thing is, whenever you eat bread during the week, you're having breakfast, you have a slice of rye bread, whatever, when you make a meitzi, you're supposed to dip the bread into salt, or a piece of the bread into salt three times. That's what it says in Halacha.
What about salty
food? If you have no salt and there's no sugar, then you could dip it into salty food, because it's at least there's some salt in there. Now, our custom is we dip the salt and the bread into the salt three times. We learned already many times. Why is it three times? Because God's name, Yud-Kevav-Ke, equals 26. The word melach, salt, equals 78. 3 times 26 is 78. So because melach is salt, and the table is a mizbeach, and it's mizbeach l'Hashem, so Yud-Kevav-Ke equals 26, so you dip it three times into the salt. So as I mentioned, every year somebody asks the Rebbe, Selecheiru, when you dip it into dvash, into honey, the reason shouldn't apply, because dvash is not 78. Dvash is 306. You don't dip it 306 times. So the Rebbe answered, you still dip, and this was the Rebbe's meaning, by the way, he dipped it into salt three times. And the reason why he dipped it into salt to the honey three times, he said, because just like melach, salt equals 78, melach is the same letters as lechem. Lechem and melach are the same letters. So then lechem equals 78. So even if it's dvash, but the lechem, the bread, is 78, and therefore three times Yud Kei Vav Kei equals 78. So therefore even the challah, you dip into honey three times. That's the custom even when it comes to the eating. And then we'll get into the apple and all that stuff.